Hi, everybody. Jimmy DeYoung. Welcome back to Prophecy Today. Here in Temporary Studios at Scroon Lake, New York, Word of Life. It's a Bible conference ground, and I've spent this last week studying the Word of God with some dear friends coming from around the world to come here and gather, and let's look at the prophetic passages of Scripture. We actually have been studying what's going on a daily basis, but in addition to that, the practical aspect of Bible prophecy, which is found in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor. There's a common phrase in those letters: "He that hath an ear, let him hear." I have a brand new DVD documentary. We produce this documentary visiting the seven churches of modern-day Turkey, Asia Minor in biblical times. So that DVD is available, and now we have a five-hour audio series, a much more in-depth study of the same subject, and it'll be available at our website at our Prophecy Bookstore, the website prophecytoday.com. You might want to go there and get your copy. This is talking about what's happening today, and in addition to that, how the church ought to be living from the words of Jesus Christ, the last words that he gave the church, again recorded in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Well, right now, it's time for our Middle East news update. And boy, when we talk with David Dolan in just a second, you're going to understand, as he gives us insight behind the headlines, what is really going on and how tense this situation is. David, let me start with this. The Prime Minister Netanyahu said the Gaza operation will continue until we meet our goals. Now, as I understand it, one of their goals is to wipe out every one of those tunnels in the Gaza Strip. What in addition to that do you see? And indeed, are they going to have to continue for a long time to be able to accomplish their goal?
Well, Jimmy, first of all, I want to say that this is becoming, in my estimation, Israel's most serious conflict since the 1982 Lebanon War. And I say that because not only are we having more and more reservists called up, but we're having rockets aimed at all Israeli cities. They're now penetrating more than they were in the early stages of the war. We had a house destroyed on the outskirts of Tel Aviv on Friday by a rocket. And of course, that was after this 72-hour humanitarian ceasefire was horribly violated by Hamas agents, terrorists emerging from one of those tunnels you just mentioned, wearing a suicide vest, so he was preparing to attack the Israelis. This was an hour and a half into the ceasefire, and killed two soldiers, and then, of course, abducted, it looks like, Hadar Golden. There's a name you're going to be hearing if, in fact, he was abducted, and President Obama said he was, and other Israeli officials say so. So they now have another soldier, and of course, you remember the long struggle over Gilad Shalit to get him released from Hamas' hands. So this is becoming more and more serious, more and more deadly on both sides, and I think has the potential to really explode into a much larger conflict. But per your question, the immediate goal is to wipe out all of those tunnels, indeed, all of them. And Israel is not prepared to stop until that, but they are prepared for these humanitarian ceasefires, and they are prepared to get the people out of the areas where the tunnels are. And you know, some of these tunnels have been built out of people's private homes and schools and public buildings and hospitals in one case. This is ridiculous, and there's no other reason. They say, oh, it's because of the siege of Gaza, the siege, we have these tunnels, but can only be for the purpose of attacking Israelis. And of course, that's what really set this off when they penetrated one of those tunnels near a kibbutz the first day of the operation, and the Israelis realized they had a much bigger job on their hand than they thought, and the extent of the tunnels has been greater than they thought. The concrete poured into them has amazed the Israelis, the money put into it. Hamas has everything to lose, frankly, including maybe its existence as the ruler of Gaza by losing this conflict. Israel has a lot to lose if it allows yet another round of terror attacks and yet more infiltrations and yet more rocket assaults. I feel like what Netanyahu is really saying is this is a fight to the finish with Hamas. And of course, the question then becomes, do other allies of Hamas sit by and watch this, or do they intervene, in particular Hezbollah in Lebanon? That's, as I mentioned before, that is the main thing keeping the prime minister and others awake at night, because their rocket capability is, 200, 300 times that of Hamas. Even though they are in another country, a neighboring country, it's a very dangerous situation there. This is looking very grim indeed, but the Israeli public continues to support the operation despite the increasing loss of soldiers' lives, and Israeli civilians have been injured and killed in these rocket attacks. It's over 30, I believe, now. So this is a grim situation, but the Israelis don't want it to again repeat in 2 or 3 years. They're basically telling the prime minister, go for it, get rid of Hamas. And I believe the West supports that goal. But again, what will its allies do? And in particular, Hezbollah, meaning what will Iran do?
Yes, that is the question. The recent poll that you were referring to says that the Israeli body politic overwhelmingly supports Prime Minister Netanyahu and the Gaza operations. So that is very important for the Prime Minister to know and for his security cabinet to know as well. But I'm sure it was comforting to have that thought in your mind when the Prime Minister Netanyahu got a call from President Obama and said, put a ceasefire into place right now. I don't know how this man who sits in the White House in Washington has the authority, or really how he thinks that he can tell everybody in the world what to do and they're supposed to follow suit immediately.
It is true that America is Israel's closest ally, and the Israeli army has been helped during this current conflict with some resupply in the last few days of some ammunition that was being depleted. But to sit there and talk to a nation that is under massive rocket assault, and, you know, again, everyone forgets, and President Obama maybe doesn't even know, because I don't think he's much of a student of history, but the Israelis pulled out of there in 2005. I was there at the time. It was extremely traumatic for them. You remember that as well. 8,000 settlers, Israeli civilians, pulled out of their homes, army bases taken down. Israel met Hamas's demand and the Palestinians' demand to get out of that territory. So they get out, and what does the territory become? It becomes exactly what Netanyahu predicted, Hamastan, a center of world terror. It's not just terror against Israel. Other groups are operating out of there, cooperating with them. We know Al-Qaeda is active and others. So yes, to say to the Israelis, look, you just have to put up with this, you know, because Palestinian civilians are dying. Well, it is grievous to the Israeli public. And I say that, Jimmy, you know, I live there 33 years. I'm not there at the moment, but I am getting emails from friends and family, and they're grieved at this loss of life. But you know, how can you not take this action when, and again, we've got to recall that this current conflict began when Hamas kidnapped 3 students, teenage boys, and killed them brutally right away. Hamas has met its match now in Israel, so whatever President Obama says, Jimmy, Netanyahu's the prime minister of his country. His country's under attack. He respects the president, but he's going to have to do what he believes is in the best interests of his people.
You brought up that evacuation of the Jewish settlers back in the summer, August, actually, of 2005. And that has had to set the stage for what we see happening in the Gaza Strip. Well, let me talk to you about Hamas now. Not only are they breaking all the ceasefires that the United Nations, Israel tries to put in place, but now they've put out the word their one goal is to exterminate the Jewish state. I guess we have Netanyahu back to the wall, and now Hamas leaders back to the wall by what they've said they want to do. This does not look good.
Again, Jimmy, they're just quoting the Hamas leaders from their movement's founding charter. And it wasn't founded in ancient days. This was founded in December 1988, where in the Gaza Strip. And that was followed by the first Palestinian uprising. And they did everything they could to try to kill as many Jews as they could. And, of course, in the second uprising, they succeeded to kill many, many more, even. And it looks like, and this is another ominous development, that a third uprising may be beginning on Friday. There was rioting in most Palestinian towns in Judea and Samaria. There was trouble in Jerusalem and other areas, and it looks like they are coming on board as, you know, more and more of their fellow Palestinians are killed, many of them children and stuff, conflicts of war. this happens. So it's looking very, very grim indeed. And I would say, Jimmy, and I don't normally comment in this way, but if there was ever a time in recent years to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, it's now. Pray for the protection of Jerusalem and the people there and the cities. And Iron Dome is a man-made system. It's doing a pretty good job, but as the intensity, the volume of attacks increases, and especially if Hezbollah gets involved, many, many more of these rockets will get through and kill many people. So we've got to just be keeping in prayer, I think, now as much as possible and as fervent as possible.
I agree with you, David, and all of our listeners eavesdropping on the conversation, be sure to lift this situation up in your prayer life about the situation in the Gaza Strip between the Israelis and the Palestinians. I am so excited to be able to talk with David Dolan every week. He gives us insight. His vast experience helps us to have that great insight. David, thank you so much, buddy. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, Dr. Rob Congdon is standing by, a European Union update. We've got Charlie Dyer. Charlie was in Babylon twice in the last years. I want to talk to him about Babylon, and then Dr. John Whitcomb is going to tell us how the dinosaurs disappeared. That's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.